Hi. Good to see you all. I'm surprised. I walked into the building and no one went, "Who's that guy?" It's been a while, I know. For those of you who don't know, I started at the hospital in housekeeping, and that eats up two of my three weekends a month, so I'm not often around, unfortunately. But it's good. It's pays better than my last job and is a whole lot less stressful, so that's something to be thankful for. Last time I was here, you might all remember, if you were here, that I don't think I lasted longer than like 10 minutes, so hopefully today I can go a little bit slower and not read so much from what I prepare. I tend to like write down everything I want to say, like sort of as I want to, or like how I want to say it, which kind of just makes you read it, which is bad, but I'll try not to do that today. Because that's bad. I never quite know how to start these things. So I guess I'll just jump into it. I've been thinking a lot this week just about how there's like so much, you know, uncertainty and darkness in the world and you know, all that, and it's really easy to get discouraged by all the things and to forget that there's more to life than here and what's going on now in our lives and political events and whatnot. So I just got to thinking of encouragement and how do we, keep ourselves from falling into this, you know, pit of sadness and disappointment on, you know, how things are going and how they could be different. And so I got to thinking of, you know, what encouragement means. And so I did the first thing that any good person looking into words would do is I went to the dictionary and read what encouragement means. And so I'll give you the definition. So there's three. First one is the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. The second one, it's the persuasion to do something or to continue to do something. And the third one is the act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, state, or belief, which is pretty good. And I think, we should do that. And from there, I got to thinking, well, who, what can I think of that makes me think of, people who encourage each other? And the first thing that popped in my head, for some reason, I don't know why, don't laugh at me, was The Lord of the Rings. So in The Lord of the Rings trilogy, there's two characters, Sam and Frodo. Now, Frodo, stop laughing at me, Leah. Frodo is tasked to take this evil ring of power, which the bad guy of the series created, that he poured all of his like anger, hate, and will to destroy the world into, and it kind of takes over people and leads them to try and destroy the world. It's bad, and so he's tasked with going on this journey to destroy it. And by his side is his friend Sam. And Sam is kind of like this nice, bumbling fool who's really loyal and follows Frodo on this journey. Now, as the movies or books, however you experience them, or if you didn't, how you'll experience them now, is as Frodo goes along in his journey, the ring starts to, you know, take a toll on him physically. He's tired. He can't, you know, move as fast or as long emotionally. Like, all of the negative emotions and feelings that come out of the ring are, slowly eating away at him. And Sam is there, you know, by his side throughout the whole thing, encouraging him on and you know, helping Frodo really get to the point where he can do something about this. And it really culminates in, you know, this big scene where Frodo no longer able to move on any further. Sam realizes that he can't take the ring from Frodo, and so he picks up Frodo and carries him off to where they need to go. And the final scene I'll leave for yourself to go watch if you feel like it. If not, you know, nothing's lost. Because that's really where I want to focus on, is the, you know, the relationship that these two characters have, and really how Christians interact with each other, and how we should help each other is essentially where I want to go. It's not a perfect analogy. You know, for those who have seen the movie or read the books, you know that there's more to it than that, but it works for what we need. It talks about the power that we have to help each other. And there are some points that I want to sort of draw from that apply to us, which is that, you know, life can be awfully hard. Doing what is right can often be hard, you know. It's not easy when everyone's telling you that you're wrong or that you shouldn't be doing something to do it because you know it's right. And that means being a Christian specifically can be incredibly difficult. And it's even harder to do it alone. You know, because the standard is perfection, and you know, we obviously can't reach it. Now imagine the story of Sam and Frodo. If they didn't have each other, the story would be very different and probably a lot shorter, ending in the destruction of the world. Anyway. Man, tough crowd. And I think God knows this, you know, not the story of Sam and Frodo, but that trying to live like a Christian by yourself, you know, doesn't necessarily work. And one doesn't need to look far in the New Testament to really see the truth in that God really wants us to work together and help each other and encourage each other. So for the sake of the flow of my message and the continuity of it, I've decided to divide, for the moment, all Christians into Sams and Frodos. The Sams are, you know, the Christians who, you know, sort of have maybe it like a little bit more figured out, you know, trusting God and you know, necessarily aren't going through something big and scary. And the Frodos are the people who, you know, have those big struggles in their life that they, you know, feel that they can't get to by themselves and overcome it. And if you're too embarrassed to write down Sam and Frodo in your notebook, you can divide these characters or these categories into those who encourage others and those who need to be encouraged. So we'll start right in with the Sams. The Bible very indirectly and directly talks about how Christians should be encouraging each other and you know, pushing each other on. And so we're going to look at some, you know, we're going to look at two sort of passages which give us directions on needing to encourage others and why. And then we're going to quickly go through some examples of Christians in the New Testament who, you know, sort of did that. And so our first spot, we're going to be jumping around a lot, so, yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:11-18 is sort of the first one we'll touch on. There's a couple. So 1 Thessalonians 5:11-18 therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God, or this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Many people like to focus on 16 to 18, and rightly so. Like, that's, as it says, you know, God's will for our life. But I also want you to notice that in this short passage, we've got statements like build each other, or encourage one another and build each other up. Acknowledge those who work hard among you. Let's see what we got here. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Always strive to do what is good for each other and everyone else. So here we see several phrases that support... sorry, my notes just got a whole lot confusing and I don't know why. I don't think it's a mistake that God... I guess it's Paul who's writing this... and God, I guess, specifically has so many of these mentioned in the short passage, because it's so important for us to encourage each other and help each other out, because in some small way, that is also God's will for us. You know, I think that can apply to this whole passage. And this is talking about, if I recall correctly, 1 Thessalonians talks about... persevering till Jesus returns. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, right? Maybe, I don't know. Blank faces, nice. really should have done my homework on that one. Anyway, we'll move on. Now we'll move to Hebrews 3, 12 to 14. And this just gives another direction on helping others and gives an important piece as to maybe why we should focus on this, encouraging each other. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. So this passage seems to strongly suggest that our actions can influence other believers and keep them from walking away. Because if we don't do that... It leaves an opening for, you know, Satan to come in and take over and lie to us to tell us that it's not worth it and that it doesn't matter and things like that. And so those are my two, like, directives that tell us that we should be encouraging each other. I have a couple examples here of people who went and did that in the New Testament, and I'll just, like, list them off. I'm not going to go to any passages. So Acts 11:23, Barnabas goes to Antioch to encourage the believers there. Acts 15:32, Judas and Silas went to encourage others. Acts 16:40, Paul and Silas go and encourage the believers at Lydia's house. And Romans 1:12 says that Paul says that he writes that him and the people in Rome might mutually benefit from each other's faith, or mutually be encouraged, which I think is interesting. You could go on, but the reality is that checking on the welfare of believers and making sure that they are living well and striving is sort of a standard that we see in the New Testament. I'm sorry, just give me a second. Whew. I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know if you can tell. It's all right, though. The sad reality is that there are a lot of those among us who, you know, have these awful things that they have to deal with daily that, you know, some of us might not even think about. Some of us have physical illnesses that prevent us from living normal and unpainful lives. Some of us have, you know, emotional troubles, depression, anxiety, that just cast a cloud on everything that they do, and it's really hard to feel joy and happiness for those. And other people, you know, not necessarily in the hard way, have changes that, you know, are forever going to make their lives different. Yeah, I was thinking, like, Alex and Kyle just had their baby, and as we all know, that's not a bad thing, but, you know, sometimes young parents need encouragement. As Christians, we need to help each other as we go through these struggles, because it seems to be the only way that we can kind of make it through the end, all of us together, which I think is important. I imagine that you'd all agree with me that we all want to finish well, and that we all want the people we care about in our lives to finish well at the end of their life, living for Christ. And so if we came to church and interact with others and go home and forget that people are suffering and going through these struggles and are feeling alone, we are in part responsible if, you know, they happen to fall away or some lie entices them away. As we saw in Hebrews, we are responsible for encouraging each other and making sure that we're all right. Which is like a hard spot to land on, I know, because it's like, wow, so we're, you know, responsible for each other's faith in reason. I'm not saying that, you know, that's the only thing. And so that's the first, you know, sort of camp. So those are the Sams, right, who, you know, have stuff going on, but really they can help others. Now, the Frodos, you know, those are those people who just seem to have those big, hard things in their life that, you know, they can't seem to get away from or you know, is a part of everyday life. I want you to know that you have some responsibility to share in making sure that you remain encouraged. And so we'll go through some of those verses now. Romans 15, 4 and 5 is sort of where we'll begin for the Frodos, because while it's nice to encourage others, there are some things that we need to remember when we're feeling this way. And so Romans 15, 4 and 5 sort of tells us, you know, one thing that helps us aside from people and can give us encouragement. It says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same mind attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had." The Bible was given to us so that we can look back and see the great things that God has done in the past and has promised to do in the future. And we can, you know, read that and experience the things that he has done for us and that he will continue to do for us and the plans he has for the future. And for the people who are struggling because they're discouraged, they have to try and always remember this and turn to the Bible when they're feeling this way. The next passage I have is 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 4 and 7. Just give you a minute to turn there. Am I going slow? Am I okay for everyone? Am I pretty even keel? Everyone can pay attention? It's all right? I know my voice is like super not. I'm sorry. I'll try and work on it. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 4 and 7 says, "In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain." I don't know why I'm having such a hard time reading. I normally don't. Must be nerves. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith." Not only does the Christian who's struggling have the Bible as encouragement, they also have other believers and stories about God doing amazing things, right? It's not hard today to go online and read some of these fantastic stories that God has done around the world and continues to do, you know, saving people and reaching out and performing miracles. As we see here, Paul looked to other Christians and saw their victories and used it to ward off, you know, the feelings of discouragement that it's not worth it and that everything he's doing is in vain, which I think is tremendous. It's important for us to look to other people and see their victories and celebrate with them. And I have here, as a side note, when you have victories, share them with people, because it's the only way that, you know, we'll ever know what God has been doing in your life and in my life. Hang on, I had a good point to make to that as well. Oh, yeah. Also, share the things you're struggling with, because if no one knows, they can't talk, or they can't help you, and they can't pray for you, and they can't, you know, watch you go through whatever you're going through. Because if it turns out to be for the good, you can help them by sharing your story. And on that vein, I know, like, last year when I was here, although my message was super quick and kind of boring, probably, I shared that, you know, I didn't have a job and it was a little bit worrisome. And, you know, looking back on it, I can see now that God had another plan for me, and the plan wasn't to stay where I thought I should have been, and it is to go where he wants me to go. And I'm still trying to, you know, figure aspects of that out, but I can see that that's the case, and it's something that I can rejoice about and I can share, because it wasn't great before, and it's better now, and that's awesome. On our third point, we'll go to Hebrews 6, and we'll start at 13, but we'll jump to 16 because that supports my narrative. So 13 says, "When God made his promise to Abraham, since there were no greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. People swear by someone greater," this is 16 now, "people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. and he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. That last part's very confusing. There's some theories as to it, but it doesn't matter. Just an interesting... Anyway, the point is that, up until this point, I haven't talked about the biggest reason that we should be encouraged daily, and that's because of Jesus and the promise of him and the, him coming to earth. That was God's, plan that he made, before everything to send Jesus to die for us and to purchase our salvation, even though we're sinners. And that should encourage us every day because we have a Savior who lives and who's already gone before us, and we have a confidence that he's there. And it should be, one of the biggest things that we always draw hope from, and help us get through the day and our hardships. As a side note, that's probably one of my favorite passages ever, just because it's God is so awesome that instead of making a promise based on something else, he just does it based on himself. And I think that's hilariously cool. let's see, where am I in my notes here? Alrighty. So I don't know if you've noticed, but the points for both sides kind of, sort of work for everybody. I made this divide between the two, but there wasn't really a divide between the two. I got you all. the only distinction between these two groups of people probably is the timing that these things happen, and not, who just happens to be a less discouraged person and who happens to be a more discouraged person. It's true that, some people are going to go through harder things than others, but we all get discouraged and we all need encouragement from time to time. I said all that. sometimes they may be huge and daunting, but helping someone through one of those struggles benefits the person helping and the person being helped. The person who is being helped gets through their struggle and is in a better spot, even if the problem isn't necessarily solved. And the person who is the one helping, sees the strength that person had and how they could get through it, and sees their role, the role that they played in helping. And that serves to, reciprocate, helping each other. I don't know. I'm bad at words. and our final passage is back in Romans 15, and it's 1-3. Which is, we who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. And this reinforces that, thought that we should all be helping each other and making sure we look for those people who need it, because it'll help both of us. Coincidentally, there have been several studies that have been conducted and some published in Psychology Today, which find connections between volunteering and reports of happiness and, life fulfillment, which is pretty in line with, everything. And the other interesting part was that they noticed higher ratings of happiness in religious people who volunteered, which could be, because they feel like they're fulfilling their moral duty, and or it could be that that's the way God designed us to benefit when we help others and when we spend time focusing on the people around us. I just have one more analogy and then some closing thoughts. There's a video or a couple of videos that go around the internet every so often, and it's, you know, you'll see a race going on, and the person in first is running as hard as they can, and they fall and trip and you know, have obviously lost the race, which can be tremendously discouraging when you've spent time training that hard for that. I wouldn't know because I've never done it, but I can imagine. And then you see, you know, the person in second place or someone not necessarily as ahead as that person, you know, picks them up and together they sort of hobble across the finish line just to say that they've finished the race, even despite, you know, this mishap that's befallen them. And I think that that's, you know, maybe a good analogy for the Christian life, because we're all going to fall and we're all going to mess up and get hurt and, you know, need help. And if we can be the Christian that looks back and helps the other believer make it across that line, it was all really worth it in the end. At least I think. I don't know. So the Sams in the room tonight, who are the Frodos in your life or churches who might not make it to the finish without you, and how can you help them? Frodos, are you reminding yourself of all that God has done for you and are claiming his promises and pushing on? And is there anyone that you can think of that you can help in even a small way, because it helps? And you know, that's what we're here for, is to help each other and to make it through with our faith intact. Man, that was way longer than 10 minutes. Yeah. I think I'll just pray, and then that'll be it for me. Thanks for hanging in there and listening. I know it was probably tough. But you did it. Good job. Father in heaven, we just come before you now to thank you for the truth that you're always there for us and that you've purchased us by your blood and your sacrifice on the cross. And we just appreciate that and strive to claim that truth every day. We just pray that you'd help us look for the people in our lives who need help and strengthen them and show them that they're not alone. And we just thank you again for this day and this place that we can come and gather. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.